Hey everyone, Matt the producer here. Things get a little sweary on this episode, just wanted to give you a heads up. Listener discretion is advised.
Engage, out of the park.
The NSR Media Network presents Out of the Park with Barry Davis, brought to you by aglaw.ca, Foundation Physiotherapy, The Jaywalk, and Timothy's Pub. This week, newest Blue Jay prospect Philippe Aumont talks about the mental side of the game.
Us baseball players, you know, we're baseball players, but we're humans off the field. You know, we have families and we have an identity and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, when people stamp me as a baseball player, I might be an asshole on the field. I might throw the ball at somebody. I might cause some trouble. I might flip you off or whatever. But it doesn't mean I'm a bad person, off the field. And a lot of times, you know, you're kind of battling the fact that I'm a good person. I'm a family guy. Like, I have values, you know, and you know, I'm very respectful off the field. But they picture you as just a baseball player on and off the field. And I was really struggling with that kind of stuff.
This week's guest, Philippe Aumont, has a lot in common with me, Matt the producer, in that we both cry profusely whilst watching The Lion King. And your host, well, he still perceives himself as the king of the jungle, therefore he doesn't cry. Here he is, Barry Heartless Davis.
Folks, you're really going to enjoy this afternoon or this evening or this morning, whenever you're listening to the show. You're really going to enjoy it because
this guy's great.
He is fantastic.
He's great.
I think, Matt, you described it as one of the best interviews that we've conducted.
You know, I love the fact, or I love when you and I go into a chat with an athlete that you haven't spoken to either.
Yeah.
So it's sort of like a first date for both of us. And there are some athletes that you get where they don't want to verbally spar. They got no interest in it. And then there are other ones that are just primed and ready and willing to just go at it.
Yeah.
This guy was into having fun like crazy. Yeah. I adore him.
Yeah, he is. He's awesome. Well, he's got a lot in common with you also because of the kiddie situation,
the
right? And we get into all
he's
that.
He's also 6'7" and stunning looking just like I am.
Right.
Mostly the kids.
Yeah, I think it's more about the kids. Yeah. But yeah, this is a very imposing gentleman. 30-year-old pitcher. The Blue Jays signed him, and he is on their 40-man roster. And will now, be given. Actually, he's got an invite
to spring training. Now, the Blue Jays re-signed him because he at one point was a Blue Jay as well, right?
It didn't last very long.
No.
It didn't go very well. So we'll hear from Phil. We're going to call him Phil.
Yeah.
And get his story. It's a really cool story. We'll also have our fair or foul poll. Ask Barry Davis. Do we have Ask Barry Davis questions?
Yes, we do.
All right. They have come back. And when we return, oh, the dilemmas Ross Atkins has to deal with this offseason trying to add to this Toronto Blue Jays team. Money being the least of their issues. There's Matt. I'm Barry. You're listening to OTP.
Ladies and gentlemen, girls and boys, The First Pitch with Barry Davis.
The First Pitch is brought to you by Julia at the Jaywalk, or the Jaywalk featuring Julia. But let's face it, this is the time of year, folks. If you haven't done your Christmas shopping yet, there's a good chance that you can find something for that special someone from the Jaywalk. They've got an incredible selection of Blue Jays-inspired gear. They've got Leaf stuff, Raptor stuff.
Ugly Christmas sweaters.
Yes. And as far as I know, I mean, if you order soon, you should have no problems getting it
right
by Christmas.
You know what the Jaywalk need to do?
What's that?
Get some Baby Yoda merchandise.
What does that have to do with the Blue Jays, Raptors, or like they don't just make something because you like it, Matt.
Everybody likes Baby Yoda.
Yeah. It's been a big thing lately.
And rightfully so. Have you seen the show?
No.
Okay. It is psychotic. It is lunacy how cute this looks.
So this is actually a show.
So on Disney Plus, they have a show called The Mandalorian.
Oh, jeez.
Which is, it's a Star Wars serialized TV show, live action TV show.
Wonderful.
Eight episodes. It's unreal.
Fantastic.
There's no meth or anything in it, so you wouldn't like it. Right?
Yeah.
You only watch shows with meth in it. With methamphetamines.
Oh, I watched one show. Are we going to talk more about the Jaywalk here?
Oh.
This is the Jaywalk segment, not your Yoda segment.
I love you, Julia. Your stuff's great. There you go. I love it.
Man.
It's going to be one of those shows.
Yeah, go to thejaywalk.com. This is what happens. You know, I'm now working a part-time job aside from this and the radio show and the band.
Yeah.
So like I'm kind of going on fumes.
Yeah.
But I like that.
Yeah.
Right?
Fumes are good.
Fumes can be really good.
Because fumes equal recklessness, right?
That's right.
When you're just trying to get to the gas station and you're like, oh, I have to drive crazy. Right? You on fumes equals recklessness.
Pretty much. And I promise you that I am not under any illegal narcotics.
There's not much illegal these
like
days.
Like meth. Well, meth is illegal.
Yeah, meth has always been illegal.
Right. Okay, let's talk about...
poor Jaywalk. They're like, we're done.
Let's talk a little bit about this Blue Jays offseason.
Yep.
And we're in a situation now where you look at what has transpired so far in the offseason and some of the free agents that have already signed...
The fact that Zach Wheeler went to the Phillies ticks me right off.
You know what?
I wanted Zach Wheeler.
Not for that kind of money.
You know what? For that kind of money.
No.
Yes.
Zach Wheeler is not that great.
It doesn't matter.
Yes, it does matter.
You need pitching.
Right. But if you're going to get somebody that's, you know, good but not amazing,
yeah,
don't get good and not... You don't want to be on the hook for this guy. You know, there are other names out there.
Like? Exactly. Good. Point proven. On to
Phil Aumont will be.
I'd
love to see him in the rotation or in the bullpen. I mean, wherever he's been both, he's done both. But
look, we're on the topic of paying here. This is what's got to happen. The Blue Jays are going to have to overpay.
Well, yes, they're going to have to overpay, but you have to overpay for the right reasons. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, so what's the right reason to overpay?
The right reason to overpay is that this guy is going to be a difference maker. And, you know, maybe this player is hedging on the fact that he's not sure if the Blue Jays are ready to compete. Or maybe he's at the point where he's not sure about coming to another country.
Okay.
Right? See, when the Blue Jays first dipped into major free agency, that was in 1991-92 era, when Jack Morris signed, Dave Winfield signed, and then the next year Paul Molitor signed. And the reason these guys signed in Toronto, because it was still another country back then.
Yeah.
We still had higher taxes back then, but they saw that this team had a chance to win a World Series real soon.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is one of the, this is the fallout with a rebuild.
Absolutely. And then you add to the fact that this is a team in Canada.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
Right.
But the number one thing is these guys, potential free agents, or not potential, free agents and potential targets for the Jays, are going to want to see a turning of the corner, right? Can this team win in the near future? Because money's great and all.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said, the Jays are going to have to overpay to get these names. But they also, these guys don't want to come here and hitch their wagon to something that is going to be a steaming wreckage for the next four
True.
Years.
Now, one thing the Blue Jays can do, simply because they have so much money available this year, is they can front load a contract. So
right.
they could sign somebody and pay him a gazillion dollars
this year
and next year and then ease off. So that allows him to keep a player a little bit longer.
I'll tell you what's complicating matters here. Not just the fact that the Jays are in Canada, not just the fact that the Jays are not winners right now, not just the fact that the Jays are 4 years removed from the 2015 run, which basically set the baseball world on fire.
Yep.
But the speaking of years, the other year of importance here would be 2020, the upcoming year, when there's a CBA lockout looming. So the Jays don't want to lock somebody up here for trillions of dollars and then have him on his ass for a full season.
You know what? You can't run a baseball team like that, though. You can't run a baseball team for the what ifs.
Are you? I swear to God, I thought that you would have been, I thought the next things coming out of your mouth were going to be good point.
No. I mean, it's
really?
It's not an invalid point, but I don't think you can do that if you're the Blue Jays, because you snooze, you lose, right?
I agree.
And you know what? Gregor Chisholm, fantastic writer in the Toronto Star.
I love Gregor Chisholm.
Made a very valid point. If it's so hard to get free agents, like big name free agents to come here, then why the hell did you get rid of the ones that you had? You know, Josh Donaldson, Edwin Encarnacion, because they're so hard to come by.
But Josh Donaldson wasn't a free agent. You traded for
No, him. I know, but still, you had star players
right.
that still had
okay.
something left in the
right.
tank.
Right.
So you had star quality.
but
and this, star quality attracts more star quality.
Agreed. Right? But let's be serious here. Those players that are now out swimming in other waters, they're probably not saying the greatest things about this front office. Like, if you were to ask Josh Donaldson his thoughts on the front on this on the front office, and I have no inside knowledge on this.
No.
But let's be serious. It was less than ideal the way that things finished off here. He's probably not out there extolling the virtues of Ross Atkins and Mark Shaparro. I'm sure Jose Bautista is also not doing that. Start naming players here that finished their time here during the Ross Atkins, Mark Shaparro regime. Mm-hmm. And they're probably not out there. Like, I mean, if your GM is that great and that cool and that awesome, it's a selling feature.
Yeah.
Look, this is not a selling feature here.
I mean, you have Vladdy and you have, you
right,
know,
but they don't have a choice.
No, I'm talking about to kind of lure free agents
right,
in.
Right.
But again, that's all on what could happen a few years down the line.
Right.
And here's where the dilemma really comes in for the Toronto Blue Jays. Ross Atkins is not looking to make trades to acquire big name talent simply because what we've talked about over the last few weeks.
Yep.
You cannot make a trade to plug a hole and then cause a huge hole by making that trade. Right? You can't, if you want to get a big name pitcher, a number one or number two guy, then you're going to have to trade a Lourdes Gurriel, or you're going to have to trade a Bo Bichette.
Well, you have to deal from a position of power.
Right. So right now, and Ross Atkins made it kind of clear this past week when he spoke with members of the media in that they will do the majority of their building this offseason through free agency. Now, are they in on every big name? Yeah, they are. They're going to, you know, make offers to all of the big name pitchers. You know, again, Wheeler's off the board, Odorizzi's off the board, Gibson's off the board. You still have Cole and Strasburg out there. You throw a crap load of money out there, hope that one of them agrees to it. But let's face it, chances of that happening are pretty slim.
Well, I would imagine the fact that Strasburg's not back in Washington right now at the time of recording blows my mind. And if he's out there, you know, listen, the Yankees' exit from the playoffs can be largely hung on.
Oh,
starting pitching.
Yeah, the Yankees are going to be
involved
in everyone. Now,
it's going to be like, yeah.
Ryu's another name that, you know, could be out there. Dallas Keuchel is available. Now, they could have had him pretty much
as a throw-in
last season when he was sitting out.
Yeah.
Right? He was the one that was sitting out, wasn't it?
Yeah. I mean, well, and the thing, too, is there is some concern or some thought as the fact that his best years may be behind him.
Mm-hmm.
Then again, Justin Verlander tosses all of that crap to the wind.
Right.
Because he was waning in Detroit and then goes to Houston and boom. Actually, the fact that there hasn't been more of a mass exodus out of Houston already blows my mind. I would have thought that by now these guys would have been like, we can't deal with this mess. We're out.
I don't know.
I mean, you know?
A job's a job. I mean, if you're a free agent, then yeah. But if you're...
Yeah, but Justin Verlander... namingly, he's a guy where he could basically say to them, trade me.
And you want to know something? I've not heard, as far as I know, I've not heard from any Houston Astro players talking about this situation.
And maybe there's been a bit of a gag order.
Possibly. We do ask Phil Amont about this. And again, he can't go too deep into it, but he adds a little something.
A little bit of Gibby.
A little
there.
Bit of something.
Speaking of Gibby.
Yeah.
No contract there or no signing there yet with him, eh?
No, in fact, I was in contact with Gibby a couple of weeks ago, wishing him a happy Thanksgiving, asked how I was doing, trying to get him back on the show maybe before Christmas.
Okay.
Right? But yeah.
Because we got to sit on Gibby's lap for Christmas, right? Tell Gibby what we want for Christmas.
Yeah. Okay. Squirrel, we're losing track of where we are here. So trades are going to be very hard. Free agents are going to be very hard. So, hey, Aaron Sanchez is available.
Yes, well, here's my thing. And
they could be responsible for the fact that he is as injured as he is, right?
They could be.
You don't know.
And you know Aaron and his family more than I do, but in order to have a dance, you got to have two people. Like, you can dance with yourself, it's just stupid.
Yeah, but he's a free agent. You don't need to give up anything for him.
No. But what I'm saying is you have to have a willing party on the other side.
Right.
So the Blue Jays could come calling to Aaron Sanchez and say, hey, old buddy, check this out. Let's get the band back together.
Yeah.
And they're like, nah.
Well, first of all, Aaron Sanchez's health issues are not like there are 40 pitchers that are probably as good as Aaron Sanchez and healthy or are available and not represented by Scott Boras.
That's a big
Scott problem. Boras doesn't have much good to say about the Toronto Blue Jays ever.
No. There's a long and storied history there.
Yeah. So I would not suspect that, Aaron. And you know what? Really surprising. We did a poll this past week on The Spin asking our listeners, now that Kevin Pillar is a free agent, would you think the Jays should go after him? And close to 70% of our listeners that answered the poll said no. Yeah. The ship has sailed.
It has sailed.
Now, let me ask you this, though. Who would you rather have in the outfield? Kevin Pillar?
Randall Grichuk?
No. Grichuk and Gurriel are set.
Okay.
I'm saying, would you rather have Kevin Pillar or Derek Fisher or, Billy McKinney? Like, I'd take Pillar over Fisher. I'd take Pillar over McKinney.
My concern with Pillar is not the defense, because he has plus defense.
He's the same player as Randall Grichuk.
He's the same player. With a cooler bat.
Yeah. Right? Not last year. He hit pretty well now. Again,
he did.
San Francisco's a pretty cool park to hit out of.
In the National League.
Yeah. And Kevin Pillar is going to be looking in the neighborhood of $10 million because that's where the arbitration number was.
Well, and he's from California.
Yeah.
And he's been non-tendered.
That's correct.
Which means he's
a free agent.
Okay. So
he'll get a gig.
Oh, yeah. He'll absolutely get a gig. Yeah.
He may not get a... He could potentially even go back to San Francisco. And here's the thing. I think some of our listeners are confused. When a player is non-tendered, it means that the team looks at what they would have to pay in arbitration, win or lose, right? Because there's two numbers thrown.
You got it.
And
even the low, even the lowest number might not be appealing.
Right. Because if you undercut that low, then the arbitrator is going to pick the higher number.
Completely. Gotcha.
Right. So if Kevin Pillar is asking for $11 million, the San Francisco Giants can't go to arbitration at $6 million.
No.
Because the arbitrator is going to go, no, he's worth more than that. So
all they're doing is they're going to release him with the hopes or with the thought of maybe bringing him back at a more favorable.
Absolutely.
Cap hit.
Yes.
Quote unquote.
That's exactly what it is. So, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised to see him return because he did a good job with the San Francisco Giants. There's no doubt about it. I think he was a good fit there. So, but you know, he issued a thank you to all the fans in San Francisco on Twitter, which he's a classy guy and I'm glad he did that. So anyway, the off season, it has been pretty lame so far. Next week, the winter meetings start.
Yep.
In San Diego. I tell you what, I don't miss much about the old job, okay? Like, I've moved on. Life is wonderful. I'm happy. I'm making music. I'm making podcasts and radio shows. That's all great. But I got to tell you, winter meetings, December, San Diego, the best fish tacos around, that crap, I miss. I really, really miss.
I love that the fish tacos.
Oh, they're so good.
Have to be included in this whole argument.
Yeah. That's a huge part of it. Huge part. It's just this little tiny shop, little stand in the middle of downtown San Diego, and some media person tipped me off to it. And
the same stand was there all the time?
Oh yeah. It's not a stand. It's a building, but it's a small little place.
Really?
Go to the counter, you order, and then you sit outside and eat your fish tacos. So good.
Nice.
So good.
Okay. I have one more thing.
Yeah.
Somebody named John Jastrzemski. That's a hard one. John Jastrzemski.
Not to be confused with Carl Yastrzemski, who played for the Boston Red Sox many years ago.
So this is a New York reporter.
Okay.
Okay, sports talk host, actually, in New York. Quote, this is from his Twitter feed, December the 4th. Quote, Marcus Stroman is really built for New York, all right, scrolling through Twitter and blocking any comment he doesn't like on social media, really, as sad as it gets, end quote. I just wanted to say, to assure people that it isn't just necessarily the Toronto media that are cast in a disparaging light when it comes to Marcus Stroman. This is the thing. It's a thing, yeah. And man, if you go and you look at this guy's comments, holy crap. The New York fan base, they are way less polite.
Oh, of course.
Than the Toronto
fan base.
He's
going to be doing a lot more blocking.
Oh, man. You should see these people. You see what they're saying. It's unreal.
I'm curious to know what the balance is between fans and detractors in New York compared to what it was here. Because it was pretty much 50-50. I mean, it used to be 90-10.
Yeah.
Right?
And just to wrap it up here, there's an article coming out of The Score, and the headline is, Blue Jays have flexibility to spend $100 million on marquee free agents. You know, if they really wanted to have kept...
Hang on, The Score wrote that as if that was a breaking news story?
Well, but just saying, there's now a dollar figure attached to this.
Yeah,
okay?
I think everybody knew that, though.
So they could have kept Marcus Stroman if they had wanted to.
Oh, this had nothing to do
I
with...
I know, I'm just saying.
No.
They could have kept him.
Matt, they traded Marcus Stroman for one reason only. They didn't want him.
Yep.
They did not want him.
Yep.
And they didn't. And it had nothing to do with his pitching ability. They did not see eye to eye with him.
I agree.
And it was clear. I mean, Marcus was very open and candid about his, distaste for some of the moves that were being made.
Yep.
And, well, the Blue Jays organization never said anything publicly to bash him, but you knew that they wanted him out.
Yes.
All right. Are we done?
We're done.
All right. When we return, Matt will ask some questions to moi.
Yes.
Yeah. And still to come, Phil Aumont, new Toronto Blue Jays pitcher, Canadian kid, will join us from the Ottawa area. And we'll find out what the weather's like out there.
Love this guy.
Yes. There's Matt. I'm Barry. You're listening to OTP.
Out of the Park presents Ask Barry Davis.
Ask Barry Davis is brought to you by our pals at Seat Giant, who do a wonderful job. You know, I've had so many people ask me lately about wanting to buy tickets to something, and what do you think of StubHub, or where do you go? It's like, go to seatgiant.ca simply because you're paying in Canadian dollars, right?
Yep.
You don't have to worry about the exchange fees and all that stuff. And we've got a discount code for you.
Yes.
NSR Media. You'll save 5% off your purchase.
I'm not even blowing smoke up your ass. You ready for this?
Yeah.
My dad.
Yeah.
Jack McFarlane.
Yes.
Of The Growing Season.
Yes, I've heard of him.
Is taking myself, my mom, and Logie, my son, to a Raptors game.
No way. Did he get his tickets from Seat Giant?
February 17th.
Did he use the NSR Media promo code?
We haven't got it yet.
Okay.
Because we're confirming everything. But that is the first and last place I'm going to go.
Nice.
Yeah.
Attaboy.
And I'll use the promo code.
Of course you will.
For sure.
That's awesome. So yeah, go check it out. Lots of cool things happening over the holidays. It's not just sporting events they have tickets to. Concerts, and there's a lot of those, you know, Stars on Ice and Disney's on Ice.
Yep.
And all that kind of stuff going
Yep.
on. So
yeah.
SeatGiant.ca is the place to go.
Now, if you have a star on ice, wouldn't the ice melt? A star is excessively hot.
All right, it is time for Ask Barry Davis, Matt. How do people ask questions to me?
Simple, visit nsrmedia.ca, hit the Ask Barry Davis tab, directs you how to do it.
You like how I do that?
I love that. Yeah. I love that. Yeah. I love that. Now I lost my train of thought just because I'm...
How do they submit questions? NSRmedia.ca.
Right. You're right.
Although NSRmedia.ca has been acting up a little bit lately.
Dodgy. Yeah,
yeah, it's been dodgy. And if you're listening, you're like, the website's messed up. Yeah, it is messed up. We're in the process of trying to fix it.
Yep. So it's pretty simple. Just, you know what, stay on Twitter if you're on Twitter. And most of you are on Twitter. That was Twitter three times in the same sentence.
There's also the email. They can send it via email, right?
Yeah, just go to matt@nsrmedia.ca.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Or info@nsrmedia.ca.
Yeah, I was going to say there's that one too.
Yep. And then just use the Ask Barry Davis hashtag. Let me see it easier. First question is for me. Actually, this came via the email.
Okay.
From Anonymous. Legitimately, there is nobody's name here. It just says Anonymous.
Hang on. It came via email.
Yes.
The email did not say Anonymous when you received it.
No.
You know who it's from.
But I literally...
You know who this question is from.
Holy jeez. Okay.
You don't have to, you don't have to reveal it, but I'm just asking you to admit you know who it's from.
I have it copied and pasted as Anonymous.
Liar.
All right. Anyway, it's for me anyway. So just whatever you're doing on the computer, keep looking at your knitting websites or whatever.
You
you're
said
doing.
This question yourself.
No.
Yes, you did.
You're such a dirtbag.
Okay. What do you got?
Davis.
What do you got?
All right.
Let me hear it.
I'm going to call up another tab here. I'm going to look at this person's name.
Oh my God. Just answer the question.
I'm looking for this person's name.
Oh my. What do you want me to do? You want me to sing a song, tell a joke?
Okay. All right. Anyway, here
we go. Give it up. Don't give it away.
All right. My son has just started playing drums in grade 7 music class. I want to get him drums for Christmas. Any recommendations? Legitimately, this came in. You can also, by the way, hey, hold on a second there, Chirpy McFreakin' Chirperson. You can go look at the friggin' Gmail account yourself. It's sitting right there. I'm not making this up. You punk.
So what kind of drums would you recommend?
All right. All right. Here's the thing. First thing is that if your son has just started, by the way, Anonymous, pleasure to talk to you. If your son has just started playing the drums in grade 7 music class, my first recommendation would be maybe you might want to rent a drum set first for a couple reasons. The first, if you're bringing in an acoustic drum set, so that means the old school drum set, cymbals, the whole thing, this is like bringing an Apache attack chopper into your house. They are screaming ass loud. If you're putting it in a basement that's unfinished, you're essentially putting it into a reverb chamber, okay? It is going to be loud. Ask Davis about when his son had the drum set in the basement and the basement was unfinished. Holy crap.
Yep.
When your son is practicing drums, everybody's practicing drums.
Yep.
Because it's that loud. The other option is you can get yourself an electronic kit, Roland. Wonderful company. They make great electronic kits. You can also rent one of these things. The benefit is that all you hear is a little tap, tap, tap on rubber sound, and your son can plug his headphones into the system, and he hears it in his headphones. It sounds like a giant studio, but all you hear is this tap, tap, tap sound. The problem is, especially a young man in grade 7, they don't want the electric thing. They want the acoustic thing. They want the shiny cymbals and the big bang bang.
Of course
they
do.
So I would recommend renting first. If your son shows an interest in the rented drum set and practice is not an issue, and you don't have to tell the kid to get down there and practice, and it seems to be an interest.
What would be an average price to rent a 5-piece drum kit?
Oh, rent?
Yeah.
It's like $35 a month.
For a month. And yeah, you recommend like a 5-piece kit?
Yeah.
Bass drum, two toms, a snare.
And a floor tom.
And a floor tom.
Yeah, exactly what David says. So when it's a 5-piece drum set, what that means is that's referring to the number of drums. Bass drum, the big thing on the bottom. Snare drum is the one in the middle. Two toms up top, or rack toms as they call them, and then your floor tom beside. I would recommend renting first. If there's an interest, then you start talking about the purchase.
Why don't the cymbals count? They're pieces.
I don't know. That's a very good question.
Yeah.
I have no idea why. But
how many, like, if you go to rent, if they go to rent, yep, the person there we'll be able to say, okay, you also need a crash cymbal, a ride cymbal, a hi-hat, right?
Like, yeah. You can literally answer this question. You're smoking it. Exactly. Uh-huh. Totally. Yeah. So my thing is always dip your toe in the water, especially when it comes to an instrument like this. This is not a piano. This thing, especially if you get the acoustic version, the old school drum set, it is loud. So a lot of parents, I've had a number of parents be like, I can't handle this. This is too loud. So rent first. A lot of these places where you rent them from will allow you to take the value of the rental. Let's say it's 6 months of renting, and you can put that towards a purchase of a drum set.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
Yeah, it's cool.
Now, if you are renting and you spend the first month, you rent a kit, and maybe you want to try a different kind of kit, can you just take that back, rent another one, and it will still count?
I think so. I think, though, that generally what they rent is, it's a pretty standard. They have about 5 or 6, they being these music stores, have about 5 or 6 rental kits out there. I think they're all roughly the same thing. It's a 5-piece kit.
Are the brands pretty much subjective? Like if you're deciding between Pearl or Tama or Ludwig, I mean, is it all pretty much the same?
So there are two brands in Canada that I would say are the brands that are easiest to get. And why that makes a difference is that when it comes to hardware replacements, so if you want to replace stands or one of your tom racks is broken or whatever, the two brands are Pearl and Yamaha. Those two they have a wide distribution in Canada. If you ever need replacement parts on hardware, it's easy to get. But the thing that I tell students, and it's the same as guitars.
Yeah.
Every guitar company makes a guitar that's going to sound good. If you buy a drum set from Mapex or from PDP or from DW or from any other companies besides Pearl and Yamaha, they're all going to sound like drums.
Oh, yeah. The drum set I had for my son, they were like some brand. I don't even
Westbury.
Know what. Yeah.
Your son had a Westbury kit.
Fantastic.
And a Westbury kit is a very good entry-level kit. The other thing, too, is there's a lot of guys out touring with fairly inexpensive drum sets. You put good skins on them and run them through nice mics, it all sounds like a stinking drum set.
Now, this thing, and while we're talking about this, and again, for someone who's just learning how to play drums, this is probably not something they're going to spend a lot of time with, but how important is the tuning of your drums? And people think, what do you mean? You can't tune a drum. Yes, you can.
Tuning a drum is very different than tuning a guitar, because when you tune a guitar, it's either in tune or it's not.
Right.
Right? And if it's not in tune, it's melodically awful.
Yes.
You can tell.
Yes.
Okay? Especially if, in your case, with the lead singer, if you're trying to sing against the playing of a out-of-tune guitar,
right,
horrendous.
Yet I manage to do it all the time.
Yeah, you seem to be constantly out of tune. When it comes to a drum set, though,
yeah,
there's no real wrong tuning. The one thing that I do tell students is don't be afraid of tuning when it comes to this thing, because what you're doing is you're refining your voice. So on a drum set, the sound of your drums is essentially your voice on the instrument. There is no wrong tuning. Proof? Go listen to how Stuart Copeland, drummer for The Police, would have tuned his drums. And then go and listen to how Phil Rudd, the drummer from AC/DC, would have tuned his drums. Vastly different tuning.
But isn't there a rule of thumb that as you go across your toms, the tone has to be deeper and deeper? Like, do they not have to be in relation to each other, have some kind of symmetry with each other?
If you ask Lars Ulrich, not if you ask Nico McBrain.
So you can go do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
Yep. You can do anything that stuff.
Oh, that's bizarre.
Whereas Stuart Copeland would have done that a lot, where he would have the drums out of sequence, right? So the tom right in front of him would have been lower pitch than the tom beside that tom, right? So it all depends. But generally, the rule of thumb is this. Is that on your floor tom, if you can... Let's say you have a floor tom, which is your lowest tom beside you, then your tom two, which is the next one, and then your tom one, which is the one right above your snare. If you can play Mary Had a Little Lamb, on those three toms, that's roughly where you should be.
Oh, cool.
So they should be separated by it should be thirds.
There you go.
Yeah, first, okay. Third, fifth.
Good to know that. Okay. Now, as far as the electronic kits, they're obviously going to be more expensive if you get a really good electronic kit than most acoustic drum kits.
Yep.
That's, if you're looking at pros and cons, that's a con, but the pros are... The kid can play all night long. Parents will never hear it. And it also has a lot more features, a lot more things you can do. And you can get it to sound like pretty much any acoustic kit now if you have the right drum kit.
Yep. Yeah, it's just basically, it has the electronic kit has what they call, beside it, is this little thing called a brain. It looks like a little digital interface. And the more expensive you get, the more elaborate this brain is. And within this, even on some of the cheap models, you got hundreds of different sounds for every little pad. It's fantastic. I find a lot of times, though, the byproduct of having that much variation and that much available to you is that students just get transfixed with playing around with the different sounds. It's like, yo, practice the drums.
Yeah, because when I was a kid and I had one of those organs that had like all the different sounds.
Oh, yeah, you just spent hours.
Yeah, I just wanted to hear all the different sounds. So that's cool. I mean, that's great advice. And, you know, it's Christmas time and,
Absolutely. You know,
some kids might be getting some drums for Christmas and we just help them out.
Yeah, and if you are looking to get yourself into some drums while we're here and doing this, Gear Music, visit gearmusic.com. They're out of the Oakville area.
Oh,
yeah.
Are they buying advertising on this program?
No, but hey, they're wonderful. And the reason why I send people to them is A, I teach there on Saturdays, and B, these are the type of guys that they don't sell you what they've got in stock. You go in and it's like, hey, this is what you need.
Okay, you're going to take the recording of what we just did. You're going to play it to the owner of Gear Music and say, hey, you should be advertising on this show.
I agree.
Okay.
I agree.
Let's move on. Is there any more questions?
Yes.
Okay.
Also for me.
Oh, geez. I could have gone out for a sandwich.
Yes, a sandwich if you were Italian. This is from Rain Man Jab. How come the fair or foul question is called Barry's fair or foul? No love for Matt.
Of course not.
Okay. On to Philip Amona. On to the featured guest. You know why? Okay, I'll tell you why this happened this way. When we originally did the fair or foul thing, like years ago.
Yeah. And we got Tim Langton. We wrote all those little liners for Tim Langton to do.
And originally... I think it was the fair or foul poll because I wasn't involved in the show.
No,
then, right?
That's correct.
So that's why.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's for me, listen, and I know that Rain Man here is just being funny. I'm not wired like that. So for me, I don't look at this as a slight. I'm not wired that way. But the magic of Tim Langton is something that we need to keep. His voice is incredible.
Of course.
I love it.
Of course. All right. We ready to move on?
Philippe Aumont. Right.
That is up next. There is... Sorry, your name?
Matthias McFarland.
Yes. And I'm the other guy, and you're listening to Out of the Park. But you're taking shots
at me like it's Patron. And now, in the dugout with Barry Davis. It's 7 a.m.
In the Dugout is brought to you by Timothy's Pub. That is your home for live music 6 nights a week. It's also the home of some amazing, amazing food.
Best burgers in town.
Best burgers in town. And if you're looking for something to do and some music to listen to the week of the 16th, you can check out the Deadbeats on the 17th.
Jeez.
Yes. Greg Wired on the 18th. Pretzel Logic. They are an incredible tribute to Steely Dan. You want to see them there on the 19th. Freedom Train plays on the 20th, and Tom Barlow on the 21st, and every Saturday they have their matinee show featuring the Meteors, who are a great band, been around forever and ever and ever.
When's Marshall Dane playing next?
Marshall Dane, not until the new year.
Okay.
Yeah. We should let you know, too, that they are closed Christmas Day and Boxing Day. They close on Christmas Eve at 7 o'clock. And they're also closed at 7 o'clock New Year's Eve, so they're not having a New Year's Eve bash.
Huh.
Right. And then they're also closing early on New Year's Day. So there you go.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Let's look ahead now to the newest Toronto Blue Jay. And, you know, they're making a lot of moves. And Phil Amon is a guy that has had a taste of Major League action with the Philadelphia Phillies. He was signed briefly by the Toronto Blue Jays. He's played with Team Canada. And just reading about him, as soon as I heard he signed with the Blue Jays, I was thinking to myself, I want to get this guy on the show, you know, just to get to know him. And so I reached out to Scott Richmond. I said, Scott, any chance, you know, you and Phil are pals? He goes, oh, absolutely. I said, well, we'd love to get him on the show. He goes, I'm going to text him right now. Within 5 minutes, Scott texted me back and said, yeah, Phil's in. Let's do it. So we contacted Phil, and here is part one. We have a lengthy conversation. Again, we'll be splitting up into two parts. You can hear part one now, and part two will be on our members-only show coming up Wednesday. But here is part one with one of the newest Blue Jays, Phil Amon. Well, Phil, first off, I knew there was something about you that I was going to like, and I finally realized it.
Just one thing, only one.
Your birthday is January the 7th. I'm January the 8th, so we're both Capricorn, so we got that going for us.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? We're both Canadian, so we got that going for us. You're a pitcher, and I like baseball.
So there you go. We're messed up.
We got all that going for us. So, first of all, congratulations on getting back into the Blue Jays organization. You know, when you look at where you've gone over the last few years with your career, when you found out the Jays had some interest in you, was this a no-brainer for you to say, oh, yeah, show me where to sign?
It wasn't at first because, you know, my mind has been, you know, throughout the years, been trying to go and test out the Asian market, and I've had some interest, you know, in the past going there, but I didn't take the opportunity because I was still, you know, in affiliate ball, and I thought I was this close to the big leagues again and all that kind of stuff. But that was just something I was like, all right, you know, I played indie ball. I had a really good season. Let's try to see if I can go to Asia. And the Blue Jays were just, you know, calling my agent, you know, nonstop. And you know, basically he's like, hey Phil, like they're calling me like basically twice a day right now, like we need to consider this. And I'm like, and from there, you know, we just kind of were like, all right, you know, this could be, you know, a good spot to go again. And we just, you know, implemented a couple things that, you know, we were interested in going to Asia, and if they were supportive about it, if a team showed interest, and, you know, if I'm not on the major league roster. And they were, and I just thought, you know, it was a great start to go back and just to keep on going.
Phil, apart from being Canadian, born in Canada, it must be interesting for you to be now part of the Blue Jays organization, where if you look at their starting rotation, actually, if you look at their pitching on the Bay Club in general, you have a legit chance of playing in the majors for them. Right.
I mean, that's, you know, obviously those are factors when you think about it and you discuss with your agent, and, you know, and some of the discussions that he had with the Blue Jays, and he's just, you know, confirming that, you know, I do have a fair good shot at it. And, you know, if I do get that opportunity, I think it's going to be special to put on a Blue Jays uniform and to pitch in Toronto. And, you know, being Canadian, I think the support is going to be incredible, and it's going to be a great experience for the family as well. You know, you go to the States, and, you know, you're not really familiar with territories and all that kind of stuff, but you know, in Toronto, it's a place I've been, you know, multiple times, and I think it's going to be an all around great experience.
Phil, I went and looked at your bio here, and as you know, as I'm scanning through, it's the typical pitches, right handed, this and that, blah blah blah. Height, 2 meters. I was like, wait a second.
What kind of site are you looking at that uses meters?
Well, I forget what it was. I was like, meters. I'm like, wait a second, though. But I did a quick conversion. Brother, if you come up and pitch for the Blue Jays, you are the tallest Blue Jay. That's like,
oh, well, there you go.
That's like 6 foot
that.
Seven, man.
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
tall, yes. Man. Wow.
Big guy.
Yeah.
Big guy.
So did you play basketball growing up at all?
I played a couple years here and there, but, you know, basketball is too much for my, you know, it was just too much. Yeah, doing suicides all day long is not my thing.
I'm thinking getting like the proper grip across the seams on a basketball is not as easy as a baseball either, right?
That was part of his training regimen.
That's awesome.
But by the time you wind up to make a shot in basketball, someone's going to block it, right? You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if they can catch up to me.
So you got some wheels on you too, do you?
I mean, I got some wheels. I got some size. You know, I mean, I can play. I can post. I can, you know, I can shoot. I mean, maybe not right now because I haven't played a whole lot, but back in the day, I mean, I was doing my fair share on the court for sure.
Nice.
Phil, I was always, and it's funny that I bring the height thing up because I was always looking at a guy like, you know, Randy Johnson, where if you're a pitcher of that height, is that an added advantage? Like, because the ball theoretically is coming out of a different door frame. Like you're coming, the batter is seeing the ball at a different height than they would, let's say, if it was Marcus Stroman on the mound, right?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, for sure. I mean, you have a chance to create, you know, a big advantage on the angle with the ball. You know, you can stride a little further out and release the ball a little closer to home plate, which just makes it more difficult. We all know that, you know, hitting the baseball is all about, you know, split seconds. And, you know, if you're that much closer to home plate, then, you know, that's your advantage. And just, you know, standing on the mound, that's, you know, that's elevated. And then you're already, you know, you're big, you're tall. You're creating, you know, a little bit of intimidating factor as well and all that. And guys are just looking at this big giant on the mound that's just coming at you. You know, I've gotten the box, you know, against guys that are about my size. And I'm like, oh, all right. You know, it's giving me that perspective that, you know, all right, this is what I'm facing right now. This is what these guys are facing when they're, you know, they're looking at me. So it's kind of helping me through.
You know, the other thing, too, is if it starts to rain, you'll know before anybody else.
Right, exactly. Yeah,
there's no truth like to that.
Usually I'm the tallest on the field, so lightning's going to strike the highest point. Which
that's
is
right. Hey, Matt mentioned Randy Johnson, and I've got to ask you. I mean, you grew up in Quebec. Randy Johnson was an Expo. He's a tall guy that pitches. Was he someone that you, I mean, he's a lefty, but you're righty, but was he someone that you kind of looked up to or kind of looked as a guy that you would like to, you know, mold your career after? And you were drafted by Seattle too, and he pitched in Seattle. So there's a lot of connections there.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, obviously, you know, you're trying to, you know, mold yourself into, you know, somebody, or you're trying to pick some stuff up. But I'm not going to hide the fact that, you know, I've watched 1,000 videos of Randy Johnson, and I just liked his demeanor on the mound. Like, yeah, he struggled. I mean, you know, the thing that got me going and that kept me going is, you know, Randy Johnson didn't really find it till he was, you know, late 20s, early 30s.
Yeah.
Which is about, you know, the time where I'm at right now. And then it was just like, all right, well, you know, he figured it out later. And, you know, he's still in the tops. You know, we still talk about him. He should be a Hall of Famer if he is. I'm sorry, I don't follow that. But it's, you know, it's something obviously I always looked at. And, you know, by watching his videos, just how dominant and just the way he looks at guys. And you know, he's not scared of anything. And he's just going right after you. And I think it's something you got to incorporate into, you know, your attitude when you're on the mound.
So are you one of those guys that off the field, you're like a really nice, friendly guy, but when you're on the mound, you're a complete asshole?
I mean, you know, if we're friends off the field, in between the lines, you know, we're borderline friends, you know. But I mean, if you're playing against me and you're doing something that I don't like and it's going to affect my team, well, I'm sorry, buddy. We're like, we're going to go at it.
There you go.
And then, you know, just like a hockey players, you know, they go out in on the ice, but, you know, off the field, they go have a beer. So it's just, you know, it's part of sport. It's competitive. It's all part of it. It's all part of it.
Phil, I see sometimes that you're rocking the Randy Johnson big time dirty flow, the hair. And sometimes, yeah. I think as a rule, you should literally just make it a rule. It should be part of your constitution that your hair must be touching your shoulders at all times. It must be.
It takes a long time to get there. It's too much. It's just, you got to keep it up and you got to wash the damn thing. I mean, it gets greasy and all that kind of stuff. Like, you know, it's fun for a year and then you get bored and it's just like, well, this is too much. This is too much time consuming, which is the problem now. You know, everything is time consuming. So
yeah, well, you can just put in a ponytail, but the grease could be a good thing, right? Because you can always put your hands there before the pitch. You add a little extra something to it, you know?
You know what? I'm the guy that doesn't put anything. Yeah, you know, I've never cheated ever, and I'll put that on record.
Wow.
I have never put a single drop of pine tar in my glove, in my hand, on my body. I use, you know, the rosin bag and that's about it. You know, I don't like that kind of stuff.
You ever seen the movie, Rookie of the Year, Phil?
I did. Yeah.
Remember the Daniel Stern character kept trying to get the pitchers to use like Vicks VapoRub and Vaseline.
Oh my goodness. He's going under his armpit and he's got everything everywhere in his chest for a slider. And
fantastic.
When you're growing up and you're watching like these types of baseball movies and then you make it to the big leagues, you're like, hey, that's not the way it was supposed to be.
They're not using Vicks VapoRub, it's Vaseline.
Yeah. Come on. I mean, guys are creative, you know, Greg. Guys, they use some stuff and if you talk to a hitter will approve for you to use these kind of stuff. They're like, I'd rather you use pine tar on a sweaty day so you can have a grip of the ball than you throw that 95 mile an hour on my face. Yeah. And I was like, okay, well, I mean, that's fair enough, you know. But obviously the rules are the rules. And, you know, if you break them, you pay for it.
Speaking of, if hoping you make the Blue Jays this year, if you ever pitch in Houston and you're on the mound and you hear a big bang, step off the mound. Because
we saw that video. I mean,
that's just my little advice there, you know.
I think it's Bush, but you know, at the same time, you know, I think everybody does it, you know, in their own way, and you know, it's, you know, until you get caught, you know, you're not in trouble, and when you get caught, you get in trouble, you pay for it. That's all.
Phil, if you're the commissioner of the major leagues, and let's play a hypothetical, imagine, okay, if you're the commissioner of the major leagues, do you strip them of their World Series?
No, absolutely
no,
not.
Really?
No.
Yeah, I don't think that's the difference. They may have given him a slight advantage at times, but I don't think that.
But
they were going to win.
I mean, if you figure it out as a player, or if you're playing them and then you hear the bang, and then, you know, like one of the videos we saw, the guy from the Rays, I think, kind of heard the bang bang on the changeup, and then he stepped off, and then he, you know, called the catcher in, and he was like, hey, let's change the signs here. That's just something that, you know, if you want to really address it, well, then address it right then. Don't address it, you know, after they won the World Series, and then now you accuse them, and now you create just a huge debacle in the baseball world and all that kind of stuff. No, do it right then. If you don't do it right then, you know, just assume the consequences. That's it.
Absolutely. You know, Phil, you and Scott Richmond are good pals, and Scott's career has kind of gone down a winding road like yours has. I know Scott had retired and came out of retirement. You kind of were looking doing the same type of thing. Do you guys ever talk about your journeys and how there's some parallel paths and how sometimes, you know, just when you think there's nothing left, you find something in you that makes you realize I still have something to offer in this game?
You know, me and Scotty talk a lot. We don't really, you know, compare our journeys or anything, but I think we talk about our journeys, and then we, you know, Scotty's, you know, is a little bit older than me, but he's been there. We, you know, we've been friends for over, you know, 12 years when we met with the national team, and I look at him as a example. You know, I look at him as a big figure. You know, he's a big brother, and you know, the stuff that the experience that he required. You know, he traveled everywhere, all over the world, to go play baseball, and you know, we talk, and he was like, hey, he's like, you know, usually I go play. You know, I'm gonna go play in Italy. I'm not gonna go play there to, you know, make money and bring money back home. He's like, I'm gonna go there so I can have memories, so I can have experience for my family, and bring the, you know, the family with me, and then I'll, you know, live the experience. And that's what I got in the last couple of years from him, is, you know, play the game, you know, to create memories, experience, and have fun with it. Don't make it a full-time job where you're just, you're stressing about stuff. Is, you know, just go out there and have a good time, travel the world and, you know, create good memories for your family. And I think that's just the motto that, you know, I got from him and, you know, that's what I want to do.
Phil, you were actually, this is your second stint with the Jays. You were actually released by them in 2007, yep. I believe it
2015,
was.
2015.
2015. Yeah. 2015, yeah.
And there's an interesting quote, because this is maybe as honest as I've ever heard an athlete, and this comes from you. Quote, "Thank you for making my misery end. I didn't have fun. Yep. Baseball was just not in my mind anymore," end quote. Whoa, that is all kinds of honest. What was happening, Phil?
You know, it's just, I think it was just a battle of identity for a long period of time. You know, we, as baseball players, you know, we're baseball players, but we're humans off the field. You know, we have families and we have an identity and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, when people stamp me as a baseball player, I might be an asshole on the field. I might throw the ball at somebody. I might cause some trouble. I might flip you off or whatever. But it doesn't mean I'm a bad person, off the field. And a lot of times, you know, you're kind of battling the fact that I'm a good person. I'm a family guy. Like I have values, you know, and you know, I'm very respectful off the field, but they picture you as just the baseball player on and off the field. And I was really struggling with that kind of stuff. And I just, you know, I was kind of out of it. You know, I was like, all right, you know, I need to go home. And when they released me, I went home. I did not leave my house for 4 straight weeks. I promise you, I did not leave. And my girlfriend at the time, she went and she did the groceries. I did not leave my home. I was just isolated. I was out in the country. I didn't move. I didn't do anything. I was not depressed, but I was just like, I need to get away from the world. Like I think it was a battle that was kind of hard for me. And, you know, with time, you know, you meet new people, you see different perspective. And, you know, like Scotty, you know, you talk about experience and all that kind of stuff, and, you know, you can feed off that and just, you know, we can get peace with that and let the people think what they want to think, and you know who you are, and you know, make sure that's something that, you know, you can hold on to and just go forward with that.
You know, you mentioned your girlfriend who's your wife now, and you know, I mean, I've gone through tough mental times myself. Matt's gone through some really difficult times, some challenging times, dealing with mental health issues and stuff. But at the end, and I know Matt and I can both speak for our wives being so huge and so important in helping us get through that. What did your girlfriend, now wife, Frederique, is it right, her name?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
What did that do for you, and how vital was she to kind of help bring you out of the doldrums that you were going in through back in 2015?
You know, back then it was a different girlfriend. It's not the same.
Okay.
I've been dating Frederique. So, you know, but maybe that relationship wasn't just for me, but meeting Frederique in a couple of years ago was, you know, the turnout. She's such a, like a smart person, and she just has values that, you know, we share, but I just didn't, you know, really have anybody to share with. You know, I was in, you know, in a negative world kind of stuff, and she's extremely positive, and she's, you know, I grew up, you know, the rough way. I mean, I grew up, you know, place where, you know, kids, they, you know, we do drugs, and, you know, we used to go out and bully people and all that kind of stuff. And, I used to just, you know, we talk, and then I get a little bit aggressive and the way I would speak, you know, about things. And she would just look at me. She's like, "What's wrong with you? Like, why are you so like negative?" And then the more she said it, the more I was just like, "You're right. You know, you're right." And now I'm trying to, you know, the follow, you know, the positive way, the values that she brings, and I just think if it fits me good, I like them, and you know, that's the road I want to take. You know, it's a happy life, and you know, you don't have to battle anything. You don't have to hold grudges or anything. You just, you know, you go on with the world. You live once. and, you know, might as well make it right.
Former Blue Jays pitcher R.A. Dickey. Phil, I'm not sure if you've read his book, but if you haven't read R.A. Dickey's book, go out and get it, because you would absolutely love it. But he has a quote in there where he talks about how he was so nervous to tell his wife about all of the absolutely horrific emotional and sexual trauma that he faced as a child. And when he finally tells her and she reacts in a way that he didn't expect, which was out of love and out of support, he said that was the moment where he can begin to chart the major turnaround in his life. I know for me too, when I've been honest with my wife, like completely open and just said, honey, this is how I'm feeling and I'm hurting, that has strengthened our marriage so much. And it sounds like with you, with your wife, where...
Fiance.
No, his wife is not
to be
Beyonce.
Wife. That's all right. I call her wifey all the time. All right. That's
fine. Sorry, I thought you said Beyonce.
No, not Beyonce.
I was like, he's going to marry Beyonce.
If Beyonce was available, yeah.
That's a different story. That's not nice.
Okay.
All I was going to say was that it sounds like you guys have that relationship where you can just be open and honest, and that clears so many problems.
I mean, honestly brings, you know, it's going to bring you a long way. And, you know, I said it all the time. And that's why, you know, some of you guys might be surprised when I'm extremely honest and, you know, about myself. I don't have to hide anything. I'm honest with myself. And that's one thing that, you know, I've learned over the years where, you know, I was trying to be somebody else. I was trying to maybe lie on the personality I was. And you know, I might look like a tough guy, but I'm an emotional guy. I'll watch The Lion King and I'll cry.
Hold on. What's your favorite part of The Lion King? Don't gloss over this. What's your favorite part of The Lion King?
Literally, my favorite part of The Lion King is the opening scene where, you know, he's
born.
When he's born, brings out the baby, and then. You know, the monkey kind of, you know, shows it to the world. I think it's, you know, fantastic. And it's obviously, you know, the song Circle of Life, which just brings the chills out. And
yeah,
I think it's pretty cool. You know, it's a cool movie for sure.
Like Matt will cry Matt cries watching Breaking Bad.
Hey, man, listen, when Crazy 8 dies in the bathtub and falls through the ceiling.
That's sad, right?
That's sad.
Yeah.
All these poor crackheads are dying.
Yeah, you should have seen him when Gus got his face blown off. Matt just was in tears.
I felt so bad for Gus's face, man.
Matt and I are both parents as well, and we can both speak firsthand about how when the first baby arrived and all of a sudden, you know, your life changes forever, and really, you can no longer feel sorry for yourself or feel crappy about where you're at because now you're responsible for another life. Did that do the same kind of thing for you?
Oh yeah, 100%. 100%. I mean, it was just one of the most special moments. You know, obviously, you know, the birth of the daughter. The special part about it is I delivered the baby myself. The doctor literally stepped aside, gave me gloves, and he's like, "You go get her."
Whoa!
Yeah,
was it like Build-A-Bear type of
hold
place?
Hold on a second. Did the doctor say, "You go get her"? Is that what he said?
Yeah, basically. I mean, he's like, you want to get her? I was like, yeah.
You go get her.
Did he give you like a catcher's glove? And
no, nothing. He just gave me those, you know, medical gloves. And he's like, you know, just put your hand there. He assisted me a little bit. I mean, obviously, I was just like, I was not going to go to get the baby inside. But I mean, it was from that moment, it was like, all right, you know, and then, you know, you have friends and, you know, you speak, you know, these kind of things, you know, here and there when you have a couple beers and, I was like, wow, I mean, just to start with, I mean, it's pretty, you know, it's pretty nice. I think it's a cool experience. But just to have the girl, you know, with me, and obviously it's a little girl, so I have to be more sensitive now. If it would have been a little boy, I would have slapped him around probably a little bit. I'd be like, get up, let's go, start walking. And you're 4 months now, let's go.
Yeah.
But, you know,
we got to start long tossing real soon.
Yeah, let's go. But, no, it's a little girl. So, I mean, obviously I have to soften up a little bit. And I like that part. You know, I like the part that I have to be, you know, super kind of girly way with the baby.
Yep.
And, you know, it's a cool thing as a dad, I think. And you got to do the right thing now. Like, you just can't go out and and do what you did at 22 years old when you didn't have anybody to, you know, to take care of anything. You know, you're just doing dumb stuff and you go to bars and, you know, that kind of stuff. Now I gotta be mature, and then I gotta create a good image for this little person that's gonna grow up, and it's gonna look up to me. You know, she's gonna look every move that I do. So I gotta get this right. You know, so I mean, it's a source of motivation for me to just, you know, do good things, create memories, and so she can have, you know, a path to take, and it's the right path.
Phil, I gotta tell you, I have buddies that are like insane bodybuilders, totally jacked. And my little daughter, Emily, she's 3, almost 4. She gets these guys in full on lace gloves, hats, and we rock a tea party. We just rock. So, dude, 6'7" Philippe Aumont, he's gonna be in lace gloves, like a Victorian outfit, makeup and nails all done, and he's gonna dominate a tea party.
Justin Smoke's wife, Kristen, actually sent us, because we had her on the show, and we had Justin on, and she sent us video of Justin doing a little tea party
it's
with their daughter.
The best.
So
tea parties rock, man.
Yeah, I mean, I can't wait for that kind of stuff. And the cool thing about it is our tea party is going to be huge. I mean, every single friend I have, I all have daughters except one guy. He's got one boy. He's going to be the pimp. But you know, everybody else, you know, we're going to have huge tea parties and Barbies and Ken and, you know, bring it on. Let's go. I mean, I'm going to dress up. I don't care.
And there is part one with Phil Aumont of the Toronto Blue Jays. Let's hope he makes the team out of spring training. That'd be really cool.
6'7" of awesome.
Yeah. And, you know, nice fallback plan, though, right? If he doesn't make it with the Blue Jays, he, you know, goes over to Asia and plays there. And he'll make gazillions of dollars.
Or just plays basketball, because he can post up and stuff.
Well, yeah, yes, that's right. He definitely can post up. So remember, if you want to hear part two of that.
Why do they call it that? Post up. Why?
It's another question for another day. I don't want to get into it. If you'd like to listen to part two, become a member of the Out of the Park family. And I know there's been a lot of our regular listeners that were members that are not members anymore, and could be financial issues, could be the fact that the Blue Jays are not playing right now, or just could be that you don't have time to catch up with all the shows that we're putting on. But here's the thing. First of all, I mean, if it's a financial reason, we do have a $3 a month plan and a $5 a month plan. So if you were on the $5, you could always go to the $3 easy enough. And if it's a matter of not having time to listen right now, your membership, you can listen to those podcasts anytime. So you could go 2-3 months without listening to one, and then you can start binging. And here's the thing. The money that we get from the members are absolutely huge for us. That is what helps finance this show. The amount of time and the hours that we put in to putting these shows out every week, it costs money. Our members are a huge part of that. Our sponsors are too, but we need you both. So if you are a member and you know someone that thinks they might be interested in joining, please do. If you used to be a member and you bailed out, we'd love to have you back. And if there's anything we can do to make your membership more worth it for you, let us know. Send Matt a note on our info@nsrmedia.ca.
You got it.
And again, once we reach a certain level, we had this goal set. Once we get there, we do have some prizes we're going to give away. We also, when we know ahead of time that we're going to be getting a player on, we can take questions from our listeners that are members, and we'll ask those questions. So there you go.
It's a long tee up, man.
A long tee up.
Your votes have been tabulated. Time now for Barry's Fair or Foul poll results.
This week's Out of the Park podcast is brought to you by aglaw.ca. Visit Adam Goodman at his website. And Adam Goodman was reunited with you and Scott Cowan on the most recent episode of Out of the Park.
Yeah, and they were, Cowan had to bail during the middle of the show.
Yes.
But both some really strong opinions on what is going on in the coaching world.
It is
right now.
Not a great month for the
NHL. No. It's been pretty nasty. But if you haven't had a chance to listen to it yet, if you go to our SoundCloud page, you will find it there. And it's all over my social media, social media.
It's a great show.
Yeah. Thank you.
This week's poll.
This what?
This week's poll.
I thought you said this beak's poll.
Nope. But I could say that if you want.
Okay. Go ahead.
This week's poll. Let's spend this month looking at the greatest Blue Jays of all time, starting with best catcher. Great idea.
Yeah.
Fantastic. So you got four options. First option, Ernie Witt. Second, Pat Borders. Third, Russell Martin. And then other, please name. And with 45%, Pat Borders.
Well, he was MVP of the World Series.
I voted Pat Borders.
Yeah. I mean, Ernie Witts, you know, he did a lot of platooning with Buck Martinez, right?
Yep.
Really, when you think about it, I mean, Russell Martin was on there. I'm sure he received some votes, but they didn't have a lot of all-star catchers. And
you know what?
That's no disrespect to the JP Arencibias of the world, but...
No. But Russell Martin and Ernie Witt were basically the same, 25%.
Really?
Yep.
Very interesting.
Yeah. Now, as far as those that commented, Buck Martinez.
Yeah.
Was he one. Did,
well,
broke his leg.
Deserves some credit for that. Yes.
If you break your bones, man.
You deserve a vote.
You deserve a vote.
Yes. Next week, we're going to move on to first base.
Okay.
Yes, we'll have a lot of fun.
That's easy.
Yes. So that'll that'll do it for this week's episode. We want to thank Phil Lamont for joining us. Matt, I want to thank you as well. And as soon as we're done the show, I'm going to post you up.
Okay.
All right.
I have to go shovel snow.
Oh, have fun.
Yeah.
Folks, thank you so much for listening and making us a part of your week.
You've been listening to Out of the Park with Barry Davis. Thanks for joining us. Get home safely and see you next time.